I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What were the biggest Lagos stories of 2021? Speaking of Lagos stories, I want to start by sending a shout out to Maureen Ogolo's husband. Today is his birthday. So I want to say a big happy birthday to Hope Ogolo. It's his 40th birthday. Good Lord. Congratulations on making it to 40. A lot of people don't make it to 40. So I'm grateful for you. I'm happy for your wife. And I do hope that she's giving you a fantastic, fantastic day today. Congratulations on making 40 and happy, happy birthday to you. We're continuing a Hard Facts look back at last year. Each day this week, we've looked at a different category of story from 2021. So on Monday, we took a look at big policy stories. On Tuesday, we took a look at the security stories. Wednesday, we looked at lessons we learned from our different businesses and places of work. Today, we're looking at the biggest stories out of Lagos. We're ending the year in review with our city and our state. No studio guests, just you and me. Let me remind you of some of the stories from Lagos, some of the topics that we covered on Hard Facts. And you can let me know which ones I left out or what you think about some of the stories that we covered here on Hard Facts. At the start of the year, Lagos was named the world's second least livable city. And at the end of the year, we had the four-score towers collapse. There was a lot of disagreement on the streets of Lagos. We had NURTW versus RTEAN over space in Obalende Park. We had Agberos versus motorists over road collections. Lagos APC versus touts. The ICIR said that Lagos Agberos collect 123 billion naira in road taxes annually. We had government versus street beggars. We also had motorists confronting LASMA for allegedly tricking them onto one-way streets. But it wasn't all quarrel on the streets. We also had lots of construction for the red and blue lines. We also had lots of road work in Lagos in 2021, causing a lot of traffic because almost all the roads were being worked on at the same time. So it really left Lagosians with little room to maneuver. And the governor launched the first and last mile buses program. These buses were supposed to take care of the deficit that not having Okada on the streets and roads of Lagos would have created. Now, we had some federal involvement in Lagos as well. The FHA organized demolitions in Festac. The EFCC raided hotels. A lot happened in state governance as well. The NSAS panel set up by the governor submitted their report on the Lekki massacre, which the governor rejected. And speaking of the Lekki massacre, it sparked a debate about whether the toll gate should be reopened for collections. And the House of Assembly created the Lagos Anti-Corruption Agency. Do you remember that story? Governor Sanwo-Olu unveiled body cams for the police. A lot happened in Lagos in 2021. Let's get into these stories. In education, before we get into the stories, UNILAG and LASU beat other Nigerian schools in the World Universities rankings. So let's start with the top story, you know, the story we opened 2021 with. The Economist Intelligence Unit named Lagos the second most unlivable city. The EIU does this report where they grade 140 cities worldwide on five criteria: stability, health, culture and environment, education and infrastructure. And while the most livable city, Auckland, New Zealand, scored 96%, Lagos scored 31.2%. The only city that we beat was Damascus in Syria, a war zone. And then at the end of the year, the four-score towers collapse broke the heart of Lagos in 2021. 46 souls were lost when the Ikoyi high-rise, still under construction, came down. The inquiry, the report from the inquiry just got submitted to the Lagos state government. We know the original permit was for only four stories, not the 21 stories that were finally built. We also know that after Bolon Oke, the GM of the Lagos State Building Control Agency, said that the permissions were changed, the deputy governor said it wasn't true, and Oke was suspended. So we can start there. You can give me a call and tell me what you think about these two beginning and ending stories, right? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. There's also WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. And we're streaming live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. We've got a few callers, so let's talk to them. 99.3.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name? Yes.
Good evening, Ma.
Good evening, Ma. What's your name?
Yes,
Chinoye. Chinoye, good to have you on the show.
Please, brother, can I talk concerning, that small boy in our way there?
Yes, it's a Lagos story, so yes, you can talk about it.
Yes. My mind, they tell me, I don't know where my mind is like. But my mind, they tell me, say, that school, maybe, that's one of our government people, they now then get that school. They don't send it to anybody, because I don't see any reason where they make them, they cover up this matter. I don't know what I did feel in a conversation.
Okay.
You hear me? Because this makes me, they talk this to because that small boy, no waiting to talk. Now, 12 years old boy, 11 years old boy, no waiting to talk. You mentioned it to me. They bring up talks. Say, okay, you always that. Like, you know, I have to say that up talks to the world, because then up talks to the world. Like, you know, no one bring their own up talks to the world and go to them. Maybe they bring them and I'm over the scene now. I do not show the family of the boy. So you see the up talks to the world bring. At least, no, they know waiting to happen for this Lagos now. Because if, according to the girl, now, the girl family now, because I get where they interview the girl. They no go grief for the family. In the end, they no go grief. You know, this is no matter of government. They no go grief. This kind one man, they go for coffee now. Carry hammer, nail, knife, put for near the boy. Tomorrow now, person they carry hammer, they pursue person. They go say na spiritual matter. Now I don't talk my own. No, that's my take.
No, yeah. Thank you for calling to share your take. 99.3. Hello. Good evening. Hello, good evening. Afternoon. Good evening. What's your name, ma'am? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my name is Omotola.
Welcome, Omotola.
Yes, I'm calling you from Ikate in Lagos.
Welcome. Welcome. Go ahead.
So, I'm picking the story that beggar in Lagos. Nothing has been done about beggars in Lagos. Just drive a bit in the traffic. If I come to this lake, Ikate, I know your way down. Just a little traffic. You see all these... I don't know if they are alumajiris or they are, I don't know where they came from. They will want to clean your car. They want to beg, really. They want to wash your car. Even when you say no, and put up a wiper that to prevent them from washing your car illegally with their dirty soap, they will just leave it and run away.
Or they'll hit it, or they'll hit your windscreen. Sometimes they hit it.
You said?
Sometimes they hit it.
No, they will leave. No.
I'm saying they hit it. Sometimes
they leave the soap. Yeah. You see, small boys that you cannot even see. It's like a 2-year-old boy is on the street begging that even a truck that is big would not even sight the person is there on the road.
Yeah.
Nothing has been done about these beggars, and it's becoming a menace. If care is not taken, they will be using them to commit crime. You understand? Their mothers will be there with babies in their hands, begging all over the place. Why? The last time we had it good was actually like it drove them back to their state. Why are they here? Why? They are just too much. Come to Jakonde, come to Lekki, everywhere. Too much.
All right, Omotola, thank you very much for calling. You know, government says it will clear out street beggars. Shegu Dawodu, the youth commissioner, said that the government will work with police to crack down on the people putting children on the streets to beg. The penalty was 10 years in prison at the time. Now, like that caller says... it hasn't happened yet. And I guess that's a question that a lot of Lagosians continue to ask. Why hasn't it happened yet? Since we've started with the fights on Lagos streets, let's talk about some more of the quarrels, some more of the disputes, some more of the actual fights that took place on Lagos streets. So you had the NURTW and RTEAN had a shootout. They had a shootout at Obalende Park. That's the Nigerian Union of Road Transport Workers and the Road Transport Employees Association of Nigeria. They fought over the right to operate in that part. About a dozen of their members ended up injured and a lot of cars were damaged. The state government stepped in But those who expected the governor to crack down hard on these two groups who had a public gunfight and endangered Lagosians were shocked by what actually happened. They were called to peace talks at Radisson Blue, mediated by Oluwatoyin Fayinka, the governor's SA on transport. What do you think about that, Lagos? 0700-993-993-993. This happened in 2021. Remember, we're taking a look back at the biggest stories out of Lagos in 2021. If you're a woman, call us on 01465-7190. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Yeah, Sandra, I greet you.
I greet you too. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, this is Baba G on the line.
Welcome.
The last topic you just said, that of the National Union of Road Transport Workers and the other counterpart, Road.
The Road Transport Employees.
Yeah, let me tell you, I told one of my friends, we were discussing, I said, if Lagos State government can tap in into the transport system of Lagos State, they will make more than 100 million naira every day. I know it will shock you. Do you know that I'm very close to most of the transporters? I can tell you, Sandra, you may not know, you know, that Lagos State as a whole, we have motor park more than 500, just estimate. And each of the motor park, they make more than 150,000 to 200,000 every day. Oleyi and Okpaja, Ojo Elegba, come to Balende, you will see different park, not just one park, both sides of the road. And honestly, those guys, they are misusing the money, money meant for development. At the end of the day, after collecting the money, it's not those guys we are seeing on the street. We have executive arm, you know, within the union.
Right.
And the executive arm will be the one that will collect the money. I don't know whether they give some to the commissioner of works. I don't know. That is what I don't know. But the way they organize parties, the way they build houses, the way they buy cars, the way they marry new wives, you know. And at the end of the day, I now ask myself a question. Don't you think if Lagos State government can be able to organize council workers, give them stickers directly from the Lagos State government, if it is 1,000 naira a day, 500 naira a day, Lagos State, even if you cannot make up to 100 million, you will make about 20 to 30 million.
All right, Baba G, thanks for calling. You know, when the transport unions and agbeiros were not shooting each other, they were allegedly extorting motorists. We had several protests and strikes from commercial bus drivers, taxi drivers, Okada and Keke riders, all of them claiming that these groups are terrorizing them on the streets to collect various road taxes and levies. Yet again, we saw the government step in, but usually it was to announce a new unified ticket system to reduce double payments. The problem of how the money was being collected using groups of men prone to force was never addressed. I even had a member of the House of Assembly here in Lagos join us on Hard Facts, and you know, he couldn't really answer the questions that Lagos had. And the big question is why? Why has the state not found a neater way to collect this revenue that doesn't need agbeiros? Is it the money? Because the International Council for Investigative Reporting put out a report which claims that the road taxes collected by these groups amount to 123 billion naira a year. But the revenue report from LIRS only shows about 7 million naira coming from the street. Where does this money go? Who accounts for it? Or is it power? The Lagos APC chairman, Babatunde Balogun, told Jimmy Disun last year that the government cannot take the touts of the street all at once because they will react with violence against Lagosians. So the hope is to phase them out instead of just clear them out. Why has the state not found a neater way to collect this revenue that doesn't need agbeiros? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. If you're a woman, call that number. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello.
Yeah, President Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name? Hello? Oh. All right. 99.3.
Hello. Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening to you, sir. What's your name?
I am Ezedun from Tunde.
Ezedun, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. About the unfortunate report that Lagos is the second least livable city around the world. It's so bad. And I think, Sandra, it's not unconnected to the political structure in the state. What is so bad is that the lawlessness in Lagos is making even the government unable to implement the traffic law because of the menace of area boys and the NUIGW. You see, Sandra, when you move along the major road in Lagos, you will ask yourself, is this the state of excellence or is this so-called mega city? Law and order is zero, Sandra. I remember the transport reform Ambode wanted to introduce to phase out the yellow bus in Lagos. Sandra, I believe that that is what the reason why they rejected him. Because the lawlessness in Lagos, the extortion, the impunity, the banditry on Lagos Road. This one is not armed banditry. Then the banditry that Lagos State government had allowed to fester for so long is so massive, Sandra. I don't think I, as a doom, will support any former Lagos State government to contest to be the Nigerian president, Sandra. I have my reason. I want to ask, in 2023, I will ask, who are the former governors of Lagos that instituted lawlessness in Lagos?
All right, Ezedum, thank you very much for calling. Lasma and Lagosians also had their fair share of quarrels last year. The traffic controllers are accused of tricking motorists at junctions, directing them onto one-way roads that are not clearly indicated, and then they pounce on them for breaking the law. When I covered that story, lots of you called in to say yes, it has happened to you, or you know somebody that it has happened to. In fact, anytime I did a last month story, I got a lot of calls from you calling to confirm the worst allegations against the officers, the agency and its officers. And we even had to speak with the former general manager of LASMA. And, you know, he said a number of things on the show when we interviewed him. You can catch it on our social media pages, Facebook, YouTube, and our website, nigeriainfo.fm. But like I said, it wasn't all beef on the streets. We also had lots of construction for the red and blue lines. Governor Sanwo-Olu promised Lagosians last year that the rail lines will be working by early 2023. And because of that guarantee, we saw a jump in road construction work by the end of 2021. Places like Surulere became harder to navigate, for example, with many access roads being worked on at the same time. And 1 year after banning okadas and keke, Governor Sanwo-Olu finally unveiled their replacement for inner roads. Enter the FLM bus program. FLM stands for First and Last Mile. 5,000 microbuses were planned, but in the first phase, 500 were rolled out. They're all being assembled locally. You know, also Lagosians can own the buses by bringing 20% down payment and pay the balance to government over 3 years. But the government claims that passengers cannot pay cash fares. Everything is done by the cowrie card system. I wonder if this is true. Do you use the cowrie card system? I remember when we covered it, I had a few people who called me and said, oh yes, I use the cowrie card system. Are you still using it? Does it still work? If you've used the first and last mile buses, is cash collected or are you paying by card? 01465-7190 for women. 01465-7190. That's for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. You can also send us a message via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Joy.
Hi, Joy. Have we spoken this new year?
Yes, we've spoken.
Okay, fantastic. We're welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. I think the light is breaking.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
I can. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, the last time I came, I was talking about this agri stuff that is almost everywhere.
Right.
And now, look at the money they collect is not being remitted. Because I asked myself, how do they account for this money? Because you just give somebody tickets. How do you go back and say, okay, this is how much I've been able to collect? How do people checkmate all this? So I feel that these agri people, the money they collect is actually what they use to set to some of the government officials and all that, and now remit a little to, you know, to the government. And the government are aware of all this. So please, if they really want this state to be a mega city, I think this we should actually be phased out, you know, so we have a thinner place. Then the other person that spoke about beggars, yes, we have a lot of beggars around. And the one that actually holds me down, that it won't make me, you know, want to cry, is when you see all these people who are sick, you know, and you see somebody begging on their behalf.
Yeah.
I just begin to wonder, what is our government actually doing to help these people? Give them, let them go to hospital to be treated, because I believe they can't treat themselves. And the people that beg on their behalf actually try to extort from them. Let the government actually pick these people out from the road and put them in the hospital so they can be treated. They have some ailment that can easily be, you know, that is not something that wants you to start, you know, going up and down and start begging. They should please just do something about that. That's my little tip, Sharon.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, I'm Benjamin. I'm calling from the kid.
Welcome, Benjamin.
Yeah, Sandra. I work today.
Work is fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, my contribution is on the issue of the boy they said they killed at a college at Lekki.
Yeah.
You see, Sandra, it's quite unfortunate. And a country like this, we have lost all we had. In a country like this, where we're expecting as a citizen that there should be discipline, there should be law-abiding, things should be done the way it is. But it's unfortunate that we have pulled away these principles. And all we do now is talk and talk and nothing is done. And look at what is happening to a governor of a state of recent. Order from above. It's quite unfortunate. And the old governor will give an order. Nobody, the people came and they nobody obeyed the governor. So that means the society we are living now, we are encroaching to serious lawlessness. And when this continues, it will land us to so many problems that we ourselves will find it difficult.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin, for calling. With the example of the governor and the police showdown day before yesterday, I don't think that quite qualifies. It depends on who you ask, really. They'll tell you, oh, the governor shouldn't have been there because, he by being there, he was obstructing a Supreme Court verdict being carried out. Some people would say, well, before the security operatives were sent there, the governor should have been made aware of it. So depending on who you ask, the governor should not have been there, or the security operatives should have informed him before they went there. But no one is saying that the police should not have been there to begin with, because they were there to carry out a legal duty, which is enforcing a Supreme Court verdict. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Not the only fight happened last year for Lagos. So we had a lot that happened in state governance. The LCC was in the news. We had our own anti-corruption agency. We'll talk about all that next. Today we're looking at the biggest Lagos stories of 2021. And a lot happened in state governance. In the aftermath of the Lekki massacre, for instance, Lagos had a heated debate over whether LCC should resume collecting tolls at the toll gate. LCC is the company that manages the toll gate. But we should remember that that company is state-owned. It's owned by the Lagos state government. Many Lagosians have questions about the arrangement, such as how much has been collected, how soon will the LCC be able to pay off its debt. There's also the question of why the LCC should still have debt, since the government claimed in 2013 to have cleared the debt when it acquired LCC. Also, the LCC management claimed to have lost 2.5 billion naira in the first 150 days of the toll gate being closed. That assumes revenues of 6 billion naira a year. Kind of makes it hard to understand why there would still be debt, you know. But I had a great conversation with the LCC MD, Yomi Omamowosan, here on Hard Facts. I asked him these questions and he had some interesting answers. The state government also created the Lagos State Public Complaints and Anti-Corruption Commission. It's basically the Lagos version of the EFCC, but there was some controversy because the enabling law bars any other agency, whether state, local or federal, from investigating corruption cases concerning the Lagos state government. So basically, Lagos state is saying that EFCC can no longer investigate the state government. So as you can imagine, a lot of legal experts, you know, couldn't agree on whether this clause violates the constitution, you know, by letting a state put limits on the federal government. So it also made for great conversation. That's the thing. On Nigeria Info, there's great conversations happening all the time. The biggest conversations are happening here every day, every hour, every minute, on every single show. So there's really no reason to listen to anyone else. Just keep it here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Keep your thoughts coming in on the stories we've touched on so far. 0700-993-993-993. So I've told you about the fight between NURTW and RTEAN. Then I've told you about Agberos and motorists in Lagos. Then I've told you about the beggars that the government says it will clear out of the streets of Lagos. And then we've talked about LASMA and the Lagosians who were always running in with LASMA. I told you about Lagos being the second least livable city in the world. The first one is a war zone, Damascus in Syria. Then I told you about the Fourscore towers that collapsed. We know that the initial permit it had was for 4 stories, and then it kept going until 21 stories until it collapsed. And then we've talked about the red and blue lines. We've talked about the first and last mile buses. If you have used Cowrie cards, if you're still using Cowrie cards, I'd love to hear how that is going. You know, if it's working, please talk to me about it and how it's working. If you're a woman, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. 99.3, hello? Sorry about that. Call us back if you can. 99.3, hello? Hello?
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hi, Amayo. Concerning what's going on about Lagos, Sandra, I'd like to pose a simple question to you. Okay. Do you have a single positive news about the performance of the Lagos state governor, or is it all about criticism of this government from the entirety of the old 2021?
So you didn't hear me talk about the red and blue lines?
What is positive about the red and blue line?
Oh, I don't know. You tell me. It's not positive?
There is nothing positive about the red and blue line. But I can assure you that the Lagos state government has been up to a lot of positive things, both in housing, road constructions, and a lot of other projects that are coming up, springing up everywhere. But I listen to your programs every day.
But the red and blue lines, really, but the red and blue lines is not positive.
The red and blue line is a project that has been there for ages.
And now the Lagos state government says it will be completed by the first year of 2023. That's not a positive. Yeah,
when it's completed, we can have it as a positive project. I remember when Faisala was there, he told us he was going to complete the project before he left. None of it has been completed to date. So I'm not counting that as a positive project. But I can assure you there are many more positive projects all about Lagos, all around Lagos. I stay in Ajayi.
Okay, tell us about them. Go ahead. tell us.
You are a journalist.
Yeah, but you seem to know what these positives are. I'm not the government. I am not the government's public relations mouthpiece. So if you see the positives, tell me about them.
You don't have to be. I agree with you.
So tell me now.
You
want to tell me?
I'm just telling you that there are a lot of positives. I've been listening to your program. Very insightful. And very good program.
Yes, but tell me what the positives are.
Nigeria Info.
Tell me the positives now. You're speaking round and round. Tell me the positives.
One of the positives is the housing estate that has just been opened in Aja a little bit after Shango Tedoye. There's another one that has been opened in Ikorodu some days ago. There's a mother and baby care hospital, the biggest in West Africa that has been opened, that you've never mentioned about, you've never said anything about it. A lot of them, actually. So that's just my own contribution. Thank you.
Ayo, thank you very much for calling to contribute. Okay, again, I'm not the government's mouthpiece. I'm not the public relations officer of the government. If the government wants to talk about, you know, opening a hospital there, those are not achievements. Those are the things that they owe you as a government. And they can talk about those things on Lagos State radio stations. My job is to look at the policies being enacted in government, by the state government, by the local government, by the federal government, and point them out to you, show you these things and say, well, do you think they will work? These are some of the reasons why it could or couldn't work. Do you think they will work? That's my job. My job is not to come and, you know, open my mic on Nigeria Info and say, oh, the government has done this, the government has done that. Nah, that's not my job. And in any case, we still carry those stories. But he doesn't think that red and blue lines are achievements or first and last mile buses are achievements. Okay. Thank you, Aya, for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Sandra.
Thanks for calling.
Sandra. Hello.
Yes, yes. Welcome.
Please, just help me ask the last caller. Those low-cost, those houses, how much are they, please? Are they affordable? Either earn 100,000, can I buy those houses? Because they keep mentioning you can't do PR for the government. Let the government come and mention the things they have done. The things you've mentioned are the things we are all seeing. So he's telling me mother care or whatever he's saying, or the low cost house in Ikorodu in Aja, how much are they? If they are in millions, are not affordable to people who work and earn 100,000, then it's nonsense. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Here, finally.
Finally. Good evening.
My name is Afi.
Good to have you on the show, Afi.
Actually, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Can you turn your radio off for me?
Yeah. I've been trying to avoid Nigeria, like avoid all the things that's happening in this country since the beginning of this year, because I know it's...
Oh, that's so sad, the end of that call. 99.3. Sorry about that. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
This is Ezima from Ikorodu.
Welcome. Go ahead.
By reacting with the guy is saying that Lagos State is building this and building that. How many people can afford it? I don't know why people normally defend this government in time when they come for air like this. Come Ikorodu now, come and see where he built the house, and come and see how many people are getting the house. Is it not only them? Them. That is the only people that are getting the house. Is it for poor people? Why is it dependent government? Because he's the government official. Have a good day.
Have a good day. 99.3.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Ampi from Ajegunle.
Welcome. Can you speak up for me, please?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
I beg, no mind that guy. That person will call. I watched you the way you are reacting to him. Don't let people push you to the wall. If you watch well, if you see English clean well. That guy knows the suffer. That guy is a government worker. When they say government don't do well, you understand? What did the government do? What did they do for us? You understand? So that is it. For these beggars, let me tell you the truth. The government don't have power over them. They cannot do anything. Because if you see... They've been saying it for ages that they will push away the beggars, that they won't do them anything. If you have been to somewhere like Abuja now, you will see that a wheelbarrow pusher, he get mad past you, we get business for Abuja. If you touch them,
you see the way they will circulate you, they will come to you, and they want to burn your shop. And the securities will not do anything. So forget all this we are saying. You understand? So the government can't do them anything. They are just blabbing. Nothing will happen. That's it.
Okay. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Shina. Okay, Sandra, good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry, I tried calling when you were speaking on the Sylvester case. And later you said that you continue it by 5 o'clock. I don't know if I can comment on it.
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. Please, what I want to say is this. After listening to your view this morning, I came down because I understand that the result that came out is not the conclusion of the case. After listening to them, they are trying to let us know that this is not the conclusion. Because from the result, then the government have to now go into details to tell us what caused the result that they have given to us, according to what I heard from your view this morning. But what I want to tell the state government is this, that they should not forget that that boy spoke before he died. And then the students in that class with him, there is some of them that still say what they encountered that night. So if they say that the state government should not try to cover anything, because if they try to cover anything concerning that boy, wallahi ta'ala, I'm telling them the God of earth will rise against all of them. None of them will go scot-free. So they should not try to cover Sylvester case. If they have corruption in Nigeria, this one, corruption will not hold this one, though.
All right. Oh, sorry. I thought you were done there, but thank you so much for calling. That's also another governance story in Lagos. The Lagos Department of Public Prosecution has advised that there is no case against the suspects in Sylvester's death, Sylvester Oromoni's death. DPP says its advice is based on the autopsy reports. Remember, I told you that there were two autopsy reports, the first one in Delta where Sylvester died and the second one here in Lagos. On the show by three, we spoke with Sylvester's elder sister who is in Canada, and she talked to us about the family and how they're doing, and she said that the family still has not seen the autopsy results from Lagos. All they're hearing is talk, but they've not actually cited the report that is showing that Sylvester died from pneumonia like the autopsy results from Lagos is claiming. But that's that. We had more governance stories out of Lagos. So the Lagos governor unveiled body cams for the police in the state. He said that once they've been trained, every policeman and woman working in Lagos will have to wear body cams on duty. So that there's a record of all their interactions with the public to avoid stories that touch. But Lagos had questions about that piece of information when it came out in 2021. First, how does the state government compel officers of a federal police force to use equipment if they refuse? So that's the first thing. Especially if you remember that we just saw what happened on Tuesday when the governor tried to give orders to a CSP at Magodo Estate. Secondly, is the evidence from a body cam admissible in an orderly room trial? And third, how will the data be warehoused? How will it be preserved? How will it be protected? How will it be assessed? And fourth, why only the police? Shouldn't LASMA and state agencies get body cams as well? Like your neighborhood watch guy, should he not have a body cam? Or girl, neighborhood watch guy or girl, shouldn't they both wear body cams as well? And in governance, both UNILAG and LASU made it to the World Universities rankings yet again last year. Among Nigerian schools on the list, UNILAG was second after University of Ibadan, and LASU was sixth. LASU was the only state university to make the cut. So that was great last year. And a lot of Lagosians were really proud of that one. We got lecturers calling into the show to talk about how they are able to be on this list. So talk to me about these stories. Which ones do you want to talk about? 0700-993-993. Still to come, the Federal Housing Authority and a task force knocked down structures in Festac, and there were lots of EFCC raids happening in Lagos as well. That's still to come. But for right now, women, call us on 01-465-7199. 0703-993-993. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
The ambassador and our president. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Once again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Godwin from Loshoro Lakwe.
Okay, welcome, Godwin.
Thank you. Concerning part of your earlier discussion, when somebody was trying to query you or whatever on the achievements and whatever, and it made mention of the estate and whatever that is being built as one of successes. Jakonde, the great Jakonde, the former governor of Lagos State, if you go to Ikpaja, you come to Lekki here, and various parts of Lagos, you see his signature, Jakonde Estate. And who are the people that are living there now? The ordinary people that are supposed to. Then for somebody to be complaining or this or that just now, the current one being built by the current administration, can ordinary person get habited or get a place there? Can a salary earner of, let's say, 40,000, 50,000 get a place there? Is it not based on party and whatever level they get all those things? So why are we judging from the reality? And even when we are dying and swallowing in the agony of what the ruptured, the dirty situation has led us to, generally in this country today, yet because of our selfish interest, because of our selfish value, we run away from the truth. Except truth is being handled and said according to, definitely I doubt the possibility of us going out of this. May God help us. And this is what is happening even at the central level today. Boko Haram and whatever, when it was initially started, the Jonathan governor who was doing whatever, the people were saying, no, leave our husband. They are not Boko Haram, our brother. They are not Boko Haram and whatever. But when the rain started falling, is it only one building that the rain fell on? What is the situation today? Truth has to be said from every angle, in the government level, at our private level. Otherwise, I'm sorry. God bless you, our ambassador and president, Sarah Sandra Ezekwesili.
Thank you very much for calling, Godwin. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Thanks. God bless you for picking this call. My name is Henry. I'm calling from Ajoro.
Hi, Henry. Welcome.
Yeah. Please, I want to make comments in respect to the National Union, the Agberu. There is a lot that is really happening in Lagos now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to put it in a simple form that what is happening in Lagos State is a siege. It's a conspiracy between the people in government, the stakeholders, and the security agents. I'm into business.
Okay.
There is a lot I would like people to come into to see, because if you're conveying any goods around Lagos State, be it Amu Odofi, Okuku, Ojo Road, Festac, the level of exploitation that these agberos are taking, in fact, it's not even taking, because people say it's generating revenue. It's not generating revenue. These people are robbing people. They stop you on the road with something harmful, and they demand that you give them a particular sum of amount, sometimes 5,000, 3,000, 10,000, and if you refuse to give to them, they damage your vehicle, they injure you in the process, and to me, that is robbery. And on daily basis, this is increasing. You come to the market, for instance, they give you a ticket. That ticket is supposed to cover for that local government.
Yeah.
But before you move to the next street, you see some boys, about 7, 8, standing by the roadside. They collect money. Before you go to the next street, that is how they keep collecting money. This is what I'm talking about. It's Sulere. You talk about Abulegba. In fact, the whole Lagos State, and it's getting too much. What they are really doing to us these days, I don't really know. I think it's that Chinese people have to investigate this matter. the level of robbery and siege that these Agbero boys and this National Union are taking Lagosians. I don't really know. It's just mind-blowing.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got a message here. This particular ticket, this person sent me a ticket, and the ticket has Tricycle Owners and Operators Association of Nigeria, Agege Agidingbin Branch. It's a development levy, right? And it's supposed to be valid for 1 week. And this listener says, good evening, President Sandra. This particular ticket once a week, but they are giving it to us on a daily basis. Apart from 1,500 naira, we pay daily 300 naira for security. Sandra, we are suffering. Nobody to fight for us. Thank you very much for texting us. He's texting us from Agege Railway under the bridge. All right. Thanks so much for sending this across to us. It is quite the thing, isn't it? We've got more people who are sending us messages on WhatsApp. Sandra, good evening. Happy New Year to you and your station. Can you enlighten me on what this cowry payment is? So for people who use public transport in Lagos, the first and last mile buses, that's something that the governor talked about last year. They introduced it last year. And these first and last mile buses are supposed to take the place of the okadas and kekes that were banned on major parts of Lagos. But you're not supposed to pay in those buses or in those, buses with cash. You're supposed to pay with your cowry card. That's what the government says. Now, it's up to you, who's a Lagosian, to let me know if that has been happening. We had some federal involvement in Lagos as well last year. The Federal Housing Authority and a task force from the state government demolished structures in Festac, which they say did not fit the master plan. They demolished over 100 shops, but there was some controversy about it. First of all, the occupants claimed that they only got 1 week's notice to vacate. They say they had found another location within Festac and they just needed a bit more time to move. They claimed that they lost almost 100 million naira in goods and property. The second issue was rent. The shopkeepers claimed that they've been paying rent to Amu Odofin local government here in Lagos. And I remember at the time I was asking if that is true, how was the local government collecting rent for illegal structures? But we had people from Festac calling into the show the day we talked about this. And they were saying, well, if you come to that part that was demolished, that it was mostly, that it wasn't really structures per se, that they were batchers and things like that. And those people have been given warnings repeatedly to get out of that place. So that was that. And then the EFCC, in the news a lot, for raid after raid on hotels here in Lagos. They were accused of being indiscriminate, not having the right warrants, of harassing innocent occupants like Bjorn Stiving, the movie actress. She complained about the EFCC agents breaking into her hotel room where she was sleeping during a movie shoot. She said they actually raided multiple rooms in the hotel. They didn't seem to know who they were going after or which room the person was in. When she yelled at them for entering her room without permission while she was sleeping, one of them apologized, while another one was asking her over and over, where's the man of the room? Who's the owner of the room? We spoke with a representative of the EFCC on the show. I don't know if you remember that interview. It was quite the interview as well. That's the thing, like, government officials don't really like coming on hard facts to come and talk about their things, because it's always very interesting. Oh my goodness. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, very quick break, and then we'll come back and try and squeeze in one call or two calls before we have to go. But thank you for listening. Thank you for keeping it here. Still keep it here. We have so much more coming up. Don't go away.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this.
RTEAN at Obalende, and how the Lagos state government worked out a truce between the rival unions in a plush hotel proved that NURTW and RTEAN are stakeholders in the Lagos state government. That, for me, is one of the biggest Lagos stories of 2021. Ebi Ambo, thank you very much for sending us a message on Facebook. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Chief Ugochukwu.
Chief Ugochukwu, welcome. You've got 1 minute.
Yeah. Sandra, talking about Agbero in Lagos. At times, I wonder how God will judge Lagosians.
Lagos state government is doing very well, catering for more than 20 million people. And these 20 million people, none of them working for good of Lagos, taking out of Lagos. Still, this government is working.
Okay.
Look at Lagos. I'm from Anambra State. If Lagos is not better than Anambra State, I won't be here. And that is truth.
Okay.
Every one of us, we should talk all this nonsense, we still remain in Lagos. And in Lagos is too bad. What the hell? What is matter with us? I beg you, let us take it easy, please.
All right, Chief Ugochukwu, thank you very much for calling. We've got Adeshina from Matogun who says, you see, the government will never choose a neater way to amass the transport sector's revenue because this current method is a way of keeping their thugs fed while awaiting the time of elections when they'll send them out for violence. That's why they always allow them to prey on the masses with impunity. Transport sector's revenue alone can make Nigeria better. Adeshina there with that anecdotal comment. All right, that's all the time we have. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, bringing you global stories. Make sure you keep a date with me, 3 p.m. But up next is that just skipped my mind now. Ireti Bakari Yusuf will bring you the year's first edition of Listed Lagosians. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media, S. Ezekwesili on all social media platforms. Those were your hard facts. Lagos, have yourselves a fantastic evening.